You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 31. And as we have been in our study of Jeremiah being a relevant book in the light of Nebuchadnezzar at this point, chapter 31, is not very far away from coming into the city for the third time and destroying the city this time and the temple. And in the process, the Israelites in Judah, Jerusalem, they have had little to no interest in changing or fixing anything. So the two times Nebuchadnezzar came in, that didn't click in their little head. And so the third time, it will surely click. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God is trying to stimulate them and encourage them. And so chapter 30, 31, 32, 33, he's doing so in writing. So he's saying it, Jeremiah, and then Jeremiah is writing it so that there's no, if you heard or didn't hear, you can always, if you had any question, go read what he said. Go read what God said. God's going to do what he said. So therefore, as we have been reading, looking, he's trying to encourage. And so here we are in our present national situation and our national country situation is like it has never been. Never been. Now, the Revolutionary War was one thing, Civil War was another. What we have now is something quite different, historically and biblically. And so nationally, it isn't national, it's just, it includes global. The whole world is in a state that it was never in two or three, 4 years ago, to say the least. So now, having said that, it's relevant to us as we read, and God gives, that's why he gave it, so that Jeremiah, and the believing heart in the days of Jeremiah can be encouraged. If you look out in the street, here, chapter 31, you'll remember God is encouraging them by telling them the 10 tribes in the north that went into captivity under Assyria, they are going to be wonderfully, wonderfully saved and fulfill God's wonderful plan for all 12 tribes. And he's using that 10 tribes that 136 years ago or so already have gone into captivity, and he's using them to be an encouragement. Now, having said that, and therefore, we read in verse 18, 19, that Ephraim, in the tribulation actually, is going to turn around along with everybody else in Israel. The 10 tribes are going to turn around, Ephraim, and they're going to turn around, turn, to return, to be restored. They're going to be returned. They're going to get saved in a wonderful way. And we read that, verse 18, 19, turn. It's used several times through this whole section. To return. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, how did it go? Well, Israel isn't going to listen, Judah, Jerusalem is not going to listen, and the Babylonians are going to level the city. Now, is Israel going to wake up? Oh, they are, but it's going to take the tribulation to do so. So now, go with me, please, over, hold your finger here if you like. And go over to Malachi, and when you come to the last words of God in the Old Testament, as it were, when you come to that, you will note that our little verb to return, I'm interested how they did. Here's Nebuchadnezzar, and then we go through the sequence of 70 years, I wonder how they did. After 70 years, they return, a remnant does. We shared that last time. Just a small remnant left Babylon to repopulate in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. But here's Ezra and Nehemiah, they step off the scene. I'm interested where Israel went. Therefore, chapter 3, picking up in verse 6, 3 and in verse 6. For I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So why don't you just quit with that group? Quit. But he can't quit. Hang on. Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return, there's your little word, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But, here's your third time, but you said, wherein shall we return? We don't need to return. We didn't go anywhere. And then you have all the wonderful things, you know. They aren't believing. Just one thing to see it as you read the three chapters. In God's diagnosis, chapter 2, verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and God, and he delighteth in them. God's happy when you do evil, and he delighteth in them. And where, by the way, is the God of judgment? God doesn't do anything anyway, and God delights in evil, etc. You can read all of that now. So what? The end of verse 15, the end of verse 7, wherein shall we return? We aren't turned. Nothing's wrong. And if you look out now and ask yourself, if you were flying over Israel, looking down at the liberal and the conservative and the Orthodox Jews, looking down, how many of them anticipate the kingdom, the actual kingdom, where they are the crowning nation, and God puts it all together, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. How many? Not many. They didn't return at the end of Malachi. They crucified him. They haven't returned yet. But they will return. What's it going to take? The tribulation. That's what it's going to take. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I'll back over, if you would, to Jeremiah 20:31. God has a wonderful plan, wonderful, wonderful plan and promise, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and he's going to keep his word in a most wonderful way. And Ephraim didn't listen, and Judah, the two tribes in the south, Jerusalem, are not going to listen either. But God keeps his word. Verse 20, Is Ephraim my dear son? Absolutely. He is a pleasant, delightful child. For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him. Still, I had to scold him, discipline him, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, the Titus in 70 AD. All of that has to happen. The tribulation has to happen. I did all of that, but we shared all these things. But, verse 20, therefore, even though I earnestly remember him still, I had to do what I had to do as a good father. Therefore, my bowels are troubled with him. I'm moved, I'm excited, I'm energized in my whole being. It's riled up for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. And God's wonderful, wonderful exercise of his person, God has a wonderful plan, the architect, the painter, the builder. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan. Israel is missing it. The 10 tribes missed. But they're going to have it because God's plan didn't go away. God didn't change a thing. The blueprint stays where it is, and it's going where it's going. And God is excited about his blueprint. He isn't excited about the little interruptions here and there of us humans. No, he's busy about what he's doing, and it's a delight to him to do it. That's what you want to keep in mind. God's will, God's word, God's way, he is delighted in doing what he's doing right now. We don't know that. We're all sitting here coming and going. But God's delighted, absolutely delighted in what he's, not what he sees, because you're looking out the window, reading the news, listening to everything, and that's what you listen to and see, because we aren't seeing it. God is seeing it, and God is producing and going for it. That's what he's doing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and he's committed to it, wonderfully committed, and he makes all kinds of ways to tell us so. Not only in this, as we're reading in this, in Jeremiah, but he did it earlier. He's done it all the time. To David he did it, etc. Now, hold your finger here again and go over with me to Isaiah and chapter 49, just to remind you again and myself. Isaiah chapter 49. And just to keep in mind, God encourages. How does he encourage God's people that get discouraged? He tells them what he's doing. How are we discouraged? Because we look at and see what is going on. So we look out the window, we look in our heart, and we get discouraged. But God isn't looking out there. God's looking at his wonderful, what he's doing in his saving grace, in his mercy. And we've got to see as God sees so that we can proceed properly. Now, so therefore, Isaiah 49, as you would recall, Israel is going to be always saying, God, help us. You don't help us. You don't say enough. Verse 14, but Zion said, Lord, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. So he's forsaken, forgotten. That's what we say. Yep, God doesn't care. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet I will not forget thee. And then you remember, as we read it, behold, verse 16, I have graven thee upon the cross. I'm going to do it, Calvary's cross. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers, and they have made their waste, that have made thy ways shall go forth of thee. In other words, I'm going to fix everything, I want to do everything, and I haven't forgotten. I'm not forgetting, I'm not forsaking, I'm on top of it. How much do you want assurance? Why did God go to the cross? Because he created us for his glory and honor. And God delighted in the plan. The plan was to be implemented because of his son, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And God's committed to that. He's committed to his son to do everything. He's delighted in doing it. Now, having said that, and he won't, how do you know he don't forget? What does God say to Thomas after his resurrection? See my hands. See the nail print in my side, the hole in my side. See it. See it. What are you going to say, God, when he steps out of heaven? Revelation chapter 1. You're going to see his hands as he steps out. You can never forget. Are you ever going to fix your hands, God? No. Nope. God, the Lamb of God, the resurrected body of Christ, is going to be visibly, in a way that I say visibly now, because we're using what we can see and write. We can see a little bit. Vision and what you see is going to be quite different. So you have to understand that. I say, we'll see better. No, you the whole world, you understand, it's a whole new thing. So you are going to see like you see. That's wonderful. Now, having said that, you're going to see. So now, God, you're back over to Jeremiah 31. And you would remember now, God's going to have mercy, and God's going to allow the tribulation. He doesn't want it, but it's going to be there. Well, it has to be there in order to bring about the conversion, repentance of Israel, and the judgment of all the nations. Now, so chapter 31, that's what we did. Sliding down now, then God says, the next thing after saying, God said, I don't want, it's a wonderful thing I'm going to do in the future. Ephraim is going to be, and if Ephraim's going to be, you, Judah, and Jerusalem are going to be at the same time wonderfully. So you should be encouraged, the remnant. It isn't going to be fixed then. It isn't fixed now, but it will be. Therefore, be encouraged. And therefore, and God is encouraged. Now we go to the next statement. And therefore, set thee up waymarks, and make thee high heaps. Set thine heart to the highway. Now, so what is God saying? Listen, you want to get wonderfully, wonderfully incited and be encouraged. I want you to go. I want you to be going. But it isn't happening yet. No, but I want you to have the excitement that God has, even though you won't see it in your lifetime, but you know it's going to be in your future. So therefore, be excited. But there's nothing to be excited about. No good news. Wrong. God said there's wonderful good news, because right now is going to what? Come to pass. All this week is going to disappear. And all next week is going to disappear. And everything that's going on, the calendar is going to turn, and all of it's going to change where God is taking us down the corridor of time. Therefore, we are to be wonderfully, wonderfully encouraged, because we're living that. You're born and you're living, and here we are, believers, most hopefully, looking to God. We're looking to what? To live. Looking to what? To live. Are we going to live another week, another year? I don't know. We're looking to enjoy, I'll pick it up in a sec, God's life. We're exercising. I got to jump ahead. I don't want to jump ahead. Now, so therefore, verse 21, I want you to go and get excited. And as if, I want you to make believe it's going to come. It's not going to come in your lifetime, but it's going to come. Therefore, set up the waymarks. It's a command. There's several commands. So it's moving. It isn't a request to think about it. It's you want to get excited and think about it. I want you to be under what I'm going to do. So you get your heart ready for God's wonderful, wonderful future, even while you're living in these very, very difficult times. Have your heart ready for God's tomorrow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so the waymarks command. It has to do with putting up signs. I want you to send out people ahead. You know, do you know how you got here? You got here from Babylon to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had you taken captives, and you went all the way around up the north in that long journey, short journey straight across the Sinai, but you don't do that. And so here's the way of travelers and wagons, the path. What's the road? What's the way to go to so-and-so? And you go down the highway, and the signs are there to get you there. You guys had signs, and now I want you to get excited about returning back to the land, to my will, to be a glorious, special, prized, privileged nation. I want you to be excited about it. So therefore, send out a crew to start marking the way post. In the desert, in the wilderness, boy, you can get lost. So you need a signpost where it says straight, so-and-so, and you keep going. Not only does it say the waymarks, make thee high heaps, And what's that? That's to make a pile of stones, take a pile of brush, make a pile. So when you're going along, here's the flat ground and all the bumps, and here's this special pile of rocks, a pile of something, pointing out to where to go. So you know where to go. Follow the signs. Make the signs. You know you got out of Jerusalem. You're going to go back to Jerusalem. Don't forget the way back. Mark out the place. Mark out the direction in order to get back to where you need to go. Now, having said that, the way marks, signs point the way. So therefore, verse 21, set thee up way marks, make thee high heaps, so you get what you're doing. You're looking to get back. We're going to know the way back. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, your verb, O virgin of Israel, turn again to seek to thy cities. In other words, you're going to go back to Jerusalem, back to your lot, back to your land, back to everything. It'll be wonderful. It's going to be returned and be blessed in the process. That's encouragement, but we're not going to see it in our lifetime, but we're to be encouraged in it, just to know it's going to be. And that's a big thing. We can die comfortably knowing it's going to be. Now, having said that, and keeping that, if you would, we're going to return. So having turning around in every way. Over to Jeremiah chapter 2. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, you would recall that they needed to turn around, and they did. And in chapter, chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, you'll get the thought of it quickly. Verse 21. A voice was heard, 3:21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication, and the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. They lost the way, they forgot God, they don't know the way without God. That's the point. So they're going to be thinking of a highway to get back to God, to come back to God in a most wonderful way. Chapter 10. And remember, we shared in chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 23, just to remind you, the believing heart is knowing, Jeremiah, O Lord, I know that the way, remember, we're going to set the highway, so you can, set the signs, so you can get through and know the direction to go, the way. Need to know the way. That's what you need to do. Now, so there, but we've forgotten God and thus the way. So, Jeremiah, what he's saying, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, you're gonna go follow the signs. O Lord, verse 24, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And the way to sum that up, you know it, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned what? Every one to his own way. And that's what you're reading in chapter 10. We don't know the way. Go talk to anybody on earth. Tell them how to get to there. How are you going to go into the future? Find somebody that knows the way. They got all kinds of ways they have in mind. They aren't very good that they're looking for to happen. Globalism and all these different things. But having said that, they don't know the way. All we like sheep. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, over in, Acts Acts, the book of Acts. Because where are we? We're looking at Israel. Here we are sitting here looking at Israel, and Israel has an awesome future, assured future. God is delighted in bringing it to pass. And the only way you can live through the horrors and the situation, if you were an Israelite, a Jew, is to look to God. But now that would be looking at in the light of the Old Testament, to look to God and hope someday. But here we are, here we are. That's there then, but here we are now. So a Jew could do what? Reading this. Well, I have to wait till the future. I have to wait. The way. God told us to get on the way, to be on the way. Before you do this, you must, as you know, John chapter 14, verse 5. And in John and chapter 14, our Lord, remember now, here we are. If you were a Jew and you read this, you'd be looking out, and it's somewhere in the future, maybe. No other Jews seem to believe. John chapter 14, and you pick up, please, verse 4. Whither I go, said the Lord Jesus. Remember, we did this, all these things in the morning. Whither I go, you know, and the way, you know, the way. But they're trying to get in the way. They have to wait a long time for the way. Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way? We don't know the way. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. Hang on to that. I am the way. You want to know the way? I am the way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now, the book of Acts. And may I go to chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I'll do two different ways to see it. Acts chapter 11. Picking up, please, in verse 21. 11:21. Directly in the light of the context. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. What did they do? They turned unto the Lord. Remember what you read? Turn, return, 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 return the way. So what did they do? Here's the New Testament, the preaching, believe, here's the Jews and Gentiles. They turned. They turned. They turned to the Lord. That's what they did. They turned. And therefore, see it again, chapter 26. Jeremiah in chapter 26, picking up, if I may, in verse 18, Paul's wonderful assignment. Verse 18, I'll read verse 17, to deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn, there's your little verb, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by faith that is in me. So our Lord Jesus Christ said, Paul's wonderful ministry is to get the people to turn around and get in, go out to where? To the Lord. Why? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know the way? How can anyone know the way? God said, I am the way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind if I can. And you, well, do that one. Second Corinthians, so you lock it in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And picking up, please. Oh, remember the Jews weren't believing. That's the whole thing. Back to Moses and all the way forward to where we just were. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Now, what's the problem? They read the Bible. They heard Jeremiah. They read Jeremiah 31. They could hear Jeremiah 31. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe. It did them no good. That's why we just said it's going to take the tribulation. Because it said everything. They heard it, but they didn't believe. So it isn't going anywhere. Nowhere. What do they need to do? Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, sliding if I can, to verse 16. But even thus, even this day, when Moses is read, Old Testament, the veil is upon their heart, and you can read the wonderful truths of the Old Testament, but they don't believe. They believe the Bible, they believe the Torah, etc., but they don't believe in the God who said it in the way they should. Therefore, verse 16, nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn, there's your little verb, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When the heart turns to the Lord. Why? Because he's the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know the way? I'm the way. A person's the way. Hang on. A wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and while you're still thinking of that and having that in mind, I'll go over with me, please, to First Thessalonians. And in First Thessalonians, if you lived in the New Testament days, what were they? The way. You got to turn around. You got to turn around to go in the right way. Go the wrong way, you end up wrong. So 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 9. What did they do? They got saved in a wonderful way, and they believed in the verse 5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. In other words, we gave you the straight gospel as honestly and as best we could. Verse 9, and they believed. Well, how did they turn? Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned, they turned around from what? To God, from idols, to serve the living and true God. That's what they did. They turned around. For what? To know the way. They had to know the way. Well, how is the way? Verse 10. And to wait for his Son out from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Just think of Sunday night on the wrath of God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, all of that truth, so, having said that, now, if I can, in the light of the book of Acts and in the light of that, over, if I can, to Acts chapter 9. The way, Jesus said, I am the way. And you will note, please, in Acts chapter 9, picking up, I'm looking at the way. Here's the Apostle Paul before he's saved. What was Paul doing? He was going and after the Christians, killing, imprisonment, persecution, that's what he did. He was a zealous Jew, Pharisee. Now, so therefore, when he got saved, he reminds us in chapter 9, if I can, I'll read And Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus. In other words, he wanted official permission from the Jews to go get after the Christians. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, so it was a way. How did you describe a believer? He's in the way. This used to be a denomination. I don't know if it's anymore. A group of people in denominations way back. Well, the way, a group, a whole called the way. That's what they were, called the way. The way. So where does it come from? The Book of Acts. What did you do if you were saved? You went in the way. You turned around to the way. That's what you did. Paul was after them that are in the way. And to tie that together, he says it later, chapter 22, in his testimony, in chapter 22, Acts 22, this is Paul again, and speaking, verse 4, telling his testimony. I persecuted, 22:4, I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons, both men and women. That's what I did. The way. It's the way. What do you mean? I am the way. You want to know the way? So what did they do? They understood. What are we? We're in the way. We're in the way. We know the way. How do you know the way? Because I got saved. I got saved. He is the way. Therefore, if I can. Over in chapter 18, Acts 18. In Acts 18, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 26. Remember, this is Apollos. Apollos was a wonderful, wonderful Jew who was going around. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in what? The way of the Lord. What made Apollos? He was bringing the message of the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught might diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. But, verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. He knew the way, but he didn't know the way well enough to make it clear enough. John the Baptist, he needed to know the way better. That's what he needed to know. The way, in the most wonderful way. Now, having said that, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. So when you receive him as your Savior, you receive the Lord, John 1:12, you know, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. So we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, what's my objective? My objective is to get to God. I know the way. When everything is done, everyone, 1 Corinthians 15, everyone, everything, anywhere and everywhere, forever, must answer to God, that God might be all in all. What's the purpose of the way, us humans? We aren't here just to wander around. We aren't here. And evolution and all of that isn't going to help us at all. Doesn't help us. So God, where are we going? We're answering somebody. There's something on the other side. Judgment. God. And that's what we're going to answer to. Everyone has to get to God. How am I going to get to God? And Israel was to represent God as a nation. But they didn't do very good. Here's the church, And here we are. They have to look to the future and be encouraged till they get there. And here we are to know the Lord as our Savior in a most wonderful way. And if we believe in think of Colossians and 1 and verse 27, the great mystery, we did all the mysteries, remember? And in the mysteries, God, the key, the center one, is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. He's the way. He's the way. How am I going to get to God? You're in His presence. How far do I have to go? How much time? How much whatever? Zero. Zero. When I received the Lord as my Savior, God and I just connected forever in a most wonderful way to God. How do I know? How far do I have to go? Where do I have to run? What do I have to do? Zero. Believe. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the way. What is the way to Christ? Put John 14, 6 into focus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one in any way, shape, or form comes unto the Father but by me. Where are we going? To way. Christ is the way to what? To who better? What is eternal life? John 17, 3. Eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He's the way now to God. How far do I have to go? Where do I have to run? I don't have to run. I have to worry. I don't have to do that. No, I'm locked in. I'm locked in. I have to go anywhere. Be still in what? And know that I am God. And you stop. You don't have to hunt for a way. You are in the way if you're saved. And you're showing the way by being saved. That's what you're doing in a most, most wonderful way. In closing, or if you would, to 1 John. 1 John. And chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Israel has to wait. I'll wait till then. We don't have a then. Ours is right now, here and now. Now we know the way. I am in the way. I am of the way. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, 1 John, we have a new relationship to God. We have to have fellowship, verse 3, sliding down to verse 7, which you know, look at it. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. We're in the way. Well, how? We're in the way. We're sinners saved by grace. Think of Sunday. We're sinners saved by grace. To show what? That God can save somebody. You're one of them. You're one of them. Saved. That's right. You're nobody. That's just right. No question about that. In me dwelleth no good thing. No way to cover up. No need to cover up. You want to know, can we make mistakes and be stupid? Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't have any problem doing that. In fact, we wish we could get rid of the problem. So God, what are we doing? Walking in the light, as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is, so that's all we're doing. How am I going to protect myself? All the stuff's coming up, more or less. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know. But I'm going to walk in the light. That's what you're doing. Fellowship, God, I'm in the way. God is going to do what? He's going to work out His wonderful plan for the believing heart's trusting, believing, as the believing heart trusts God, he's going to work out every single second till he's done with you and me. And that's what he's going to do. And no matter who and where or what or how, you say all the things and talk forever about it. You're going to want to trust God. That's what you want. God's wonderful minutes for the rest of your life. God, give me life as long as I shall live. And as long as I live, give me life. How's that? Give me life. Give me life to the day I drop dead. That's it.